Tonight's shiur for the week of Parshas Yisro. It's a story that's told by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, about his father, the stipler. There was once a chasana that took place, and after the chuppah, as is Nahug, the chasna and kala, went into the cheder yichud. What happens? All of a sudden, there's a scream from the cheder yichud. What happened? There was a mouse that entered the cheder yichud. Now, it wasn't just a little tiny, it was a big, fat, black mouse. Now, the kala took a look at this mouse. She screamed. But not only that, she took it very hard. And besides being scared, which wasn't such a big problem, you just get rid of the mouse, but she took this as being a bad siman, a bad omen, that seeing a black mouse in the cheder yichud is not a good sign. It was a sign that Hashem doesn't like the shidduch, and she didn't want to go out of the cheder, didn't want to go out into the hall. She says, this is not meant to be. This is obviously not the right shidduch, and that's it. She refused to leave, refused to go out of the hall, into the hall. Of course, you know, Al-Hassan tried to, she wouldn't hear. So he came out, you know, he was frantic. He says, the callers don't want to come out. We saw this black mouse, and what should I do? Whatever. So they called in the Rav, and the Rav started speaking to her. It didn't work. Called this person in to speak to her, and that person, and that. And the more people spoke to her and tried to calm her down, said, it's nothing, don't worry about it, that. It just got worse and worse. And she just, the more that she she was convinced that this is not meant to be. So they brought in psychologists to the work, but it just, nothing worked. It just made matters even worse. So they decided to go to the stipler and ask him if he could have an eitzah, what to do. So he said to bring the kala to him, which is very, very unusual, because he never saw women, but this was obviously Yotzi min haklal. Okay, so the kala was brought to the stipler, and he heard her feeling, heard what she has to say, her feelings about the situation, and stipler said to her the following. He says, you know what? Everybody's telling you, you know, this one's telling you you're wrong, this one's telling you you're making a mistake, nothing to worry about. You know what? He says, truth of the matter is, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think they're all wrong. It's a terrible thing. You saw this black mouse. Yes, is a very bad sign, and it's a terrible thing that you saw this bad mouse. 100%. I agree with you. I think they're wrong. So she's like, oh yeah, finally somebody on my side. She says, however, listen to what I'm going to tell you. It says to her, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed. It says that there's ein ksuba she'ein ba tigra. There's no ksuba, says Chazal, that doesn't have a fight with it. As there's nothing ever goes 100% smooth when it comes to a chasana. Usually about the ksuba, they're fighting, this one, oh, it's supposed to give this much money. He says there's no ksuba without a fight. There's always some problem when it comes to a chasana. Why? No, but that's what Chazal said. So he said to the kala, you know, in your situation, your family and the chasan's family are such fine people, and they wouldn't hurt a fly, and such good midos and everything. So there's not going to be no fights over here, you know. He said, but lemaisa, Chazal can't be wrong. Chazal said there's got to be some problem with the ksuba, you know, with the shidduch. There has to be something happen. Something bad has to happen. But how could it? Both of your sides are such good people. So he said, you know what? This is it. This was the mekayim, the words of Chazal, that something bad has to happen. So good. The bad had happened. The mouse went in. Terrible thing it was. But it happened. It had to happen so you can be Yotzi, the sinyan of Chazal, of the Tigra. But now that it happened, you should go. You'll have a nice long and happy life together, and with a mazel and bracha, and sent her off. And needless to say, the words had the proper effect. As we see, the genius of the stipler, everybody was trying to convince Singer she's wrong, made things worse. So he took the opposite approach. He says, no, you're right. Oh, so right, he got her on the right track, and then just put her in the right direction. Everything worked out for the best. Next, we have another Shaila dealing with omens. There was a Yid that he was working for a store. He was basically running the store and the cash register, and he was basically running things. Now his boss, he warned him, and he told his worker, he says, listen, I have a minhag, which I'm very, very careful about, and I'm warning you that you have to keep up my custom. He says, what's that? He says, every day in the morning, I do not start the day with having to put out money. It's because I feel that's a bad siman, it's a bad omen to give out money. So the first thing of the day has to be income. So therefore, no matter who comes by, if the suppliers come by or whatever, I owe money to, whatever, you're not allowed to give anybody money until you first get some money. In other words, first make a sale, after you get some money in the till, okay, then you can deal with it, you can pay what you have to pay or whatever, but until money goes in the till, no money goes out of the till, because that's a bad siman. You start the day by paying out money. Now, the mice of this boss is over on the Isser, the Torah, lo tenachashu. You're not allowed to make omens like this. As it's in fact, it's a halach and shulchan aruch yoredeyasim in kufay and tes sif gimel. It says she'adam shemevakshim imenu ma'ot b'motzi Shabbos. For example, let's say it's the beginning of the week, motzi Shabbos, beginning of the new week, and people are asking him for some money. Let's say like we have over here, they're collecting the vad bayit, collecting for the building, you know, the everybody from the building has to pay money, whatever. Okay, they come around Moses Shabbos. And what do you say? Omer, he says, Bevakasha mimcha, hinchaniyata, please leave me alone now. Don't make me pay now. Ki eni rotzeh shehei tchilat iski b'shavua menetinas davar mitachad. I don't want to start the week by paying something, by giving out money. Mishum shesimen rahu, it's a bad simen. Latchilat hashavua b'davar hefset, by beginning with a lot, by having to dish out money right at the beginning of the week, Motzei Shabbos. So one who does that says a shulchan aruch areize bechlal ha'iser shalom tenachashu. That's part of the iser of being menachesh, of making these omens, these bad omens or whatever, and that's a mamashin isur, not to do that. So here, this boss hired this worker and said to do this, that. You know, don't make sure every morning you don't give out money or that. So the worker now came, therefore, with the shayla. He says, what should I do? On the one hand, you know, he's very, very strict on this. He watches me like a hawk. You know, he has the camera set up and everything. So he sees me, you know, put out any money. I'm in big trouble. I'll lose my job. So that's basically my shaila. Do I go along with what he's saying, even though it's something which the Shulchan Aruch says you should not do? Although I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for him, you know. But on the other hand, if I don't do it, I'm going to lose my job. Do I have to lose my job? Well, what's the psak? So, first of all, it was pointed out that besides the Isser of Nichush, that the Balach, you know, the boss is over, transgresses. Also, he's over in something else. By not paying his debts, you know, somebody's coming, a supplier comes along, first thing in the morning says, you owe me money. He says, no, I can't give money because I, you know, first I have to get money. So he says, so that's a merida b'kin, that's going against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, rebelling against Hashem. Why? Because we have Chazal and Ksubas, not Pei Vav, it has Priyas Balchov Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to pay back your debts. So here, you're not paying back your debts because of your crazy ideas, and so you're going against the Torah. The Torah says it's a mitzvah to pay, and you're not paying the mitzvah, your debts. So, okay, so he's over on two things. You know, not paying his debts, and of course, being menachesh. Now, if the worker goes along with that, problem is, he, even though he's himself, you know, he's not over on the Isser Nichush himself, he's not doing it for himself. You know, he himself is not doing this because of the bad omen. He's doing it because his boss is making him do so. So he himself is not over on it directly, but he's over on helping somebody do the Isser. You know, by doing what the boss says, he's helping the boss being over on this Isser of Lotanachush, which is a problem. Okay, so therefore what? He has to give up his job? So, Rav Zilberstein gave him an etzah. He says, I have an etzah for you. Very simple. Every morning, he says, take out of your pocket a shekel and throw it in the cash register. There's the income. Now, you say, okay, but it has a problem. It's an akshu. No. Because when you're putting it in the cash, you're not doing it because of lot an akshu. And again, he said, make sure you have in mind you're not doing this as a shaliach for the boss. You're just yourself. You're saying, I'm throwing a shekel in so I won't lose my job. And you throw it in, and there's the income. The first thing in the morning is the income. It's only a shekel, so it's not going to cost you too much. It's going to keep your job. And you're not over anything because you're not doing it because of the isser. You're doing it just to save your job. And you're throwing a shekel to keep your job. And therefore, the boss is happy. And you're happy, and you keep your job. That was the eighth. Next, we have a maisa with a young couple where the wife was pregnant, and they went to a private doctor, a specialist, to have a ultrasound to see everything's going well with the child. So the couple went in and met with the doctor before he would do the ultrasound, and they told the doctor, you know, we want you to check out, make things everything's okay, see what the story is with the baby, but we have a very strong request, and that is, we ask you, please do not tell us the sex of the baby. We don't want to know if it's a boy or a girl. We don't want to know. We do not want to know. So please do not tell us. Okay. Fine. That's their right. So the doctor does the bdika. He checks the thing. He finishes the check and he says, Baruch Hashem, you have a healthy baby girl. Just baby girl. Well, we asked you not to tell us. So, whatever. I said, what? That's not. We told you, but Farish, don't tell us what it is. And then you go telling us what's going on. So he says, you know what? He says, we're not going to pay you. We're not going to pay you. We asked you and you didn't do what we asked, so we're not going to pay you. So the doctor said, okay, listen, I didn't do, but Lamai said, I think you still have to pay me. So said, well, he agreed that they go to a Rav and see what the Rav had to say. That's the Shaila. Do they have to pay the doctor or not? So the question was asked to Rav Yashiv, that's all. And he paskined that they have to pay the doctor. Why? Even though the doctor, of course, did a terrible thing. You know, they asked him specifically not to tell, and he told terrible thing what he did. But the mice say, did he do the check? Did he do the ultrasound? He needed the job. He did the job. And therefore, they have to pay him for his work. That he did something bad, 100% he did something bad. But that doesn't mean they don't have to pay him for the work. Okay. Now, we move on to another Shaila, which is similar. What happened? There was a person who was fatally ill, and he went also to a specialist, a doctor, and he wanted to know, for his disease that he had, his sickness, what the doctor, you know, recommended, what he can do to help the situation, whatever. And here he had his request, and he said, doctor, you know, after, you know, I want you to check me out and tell me what I could do, what I should do to help my situation, but please, just one thing, don't tell me how long I have to live. So the doctor, you know, checked him out, this, whatever, and gave him instructions. You have to do this, take this medicines, and do this exercises, and do this diet, or whatever. Gave him, you know, what to help him out with. And then he said, you know, it really hurts me, though, to have to tell you this, that you don't just have 2 months to live. He said, what are you doing? I asked you not to tell me. Anyway, so the patient refused to pay. He said, I'm not paying. I told you not to tell me that, and you told me that. So I'm not paying you. So he also asked the Shaila, does he have to pay? So what are you going to say? Well, we already learned that. He has to pay. However, here, the psak was, he doesn't have to pay. So the question is, of course, what's the difference? What's the difference with the doctor telling the couple about the sex of the child, which he was not supposed to do, and there they do have to pay, whereas here? So he explains the following. What's the difference? In the case of the doctor with the ultrasound, the first case, the doctor did what he was supposed to do, and the fact that he added these fewer words, what he shouldn't have done, that's a separate thing. It was wrong, but it was a separate thing. The job is job. He did what he's supposed to do. And it gives a mashal. What would it be? Imagine, say, somebody worked for you. Okay, he worked for you, and then he's coming to get his pay. You had a job for him to do, and you fix your, fix your lighting, and he fixed your lighting in your house, electrician, fixed it, and now, you know, agreement was to pay him 200 shekels, good, and then before you hand him over 200 shekels, he smacks you in the face. Now, do you have to pay him for the 200 shekels for fixing your electricity? Say, so, yeah, ma kesher, you know, exactly, there's no connection. He fixed your electricity, he fixed your electricity, so you have to pay him for the I smacked you. Okay, it's wrong. You want to take him to Beis Din, you want to, 100%, you have no right to smack you. But that doesn't mean you don't have to pay him for that. There's two different, one has nothing to do with the other. Same thing over here, the ultrasound. He did the ultrasound? Yes, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He did the job. And then he did something wrong. He smacked you. He told you the baby's a girl. But that's one has nothing to do with the other. So you have to pay him. What about over here with this fatally ill person when he told him how long he has to live? Because here, it's not just two separate entities. Here, what's a doctor for? A doctor is here to cure, to help the person, to try to cure him. Here, by telling him that he's going to die soon, is going to have the opposite effect. He puts a person into depression, and he's not going to be able to function. And therefore, here you told him all these things. Here, you should do this and do this exercise and do this diet or whatever. But once he hears that he's going to die soon, he's just going to give up, and he's not going to do the exercise, not going to diet. He's just going to be depressed, and so you didn't do your job as a doctor. Doctor has to cure, not kill, and you're killing the guy by telling him this. So mainly, you don't deserve to get paid as a doctor if you're not acting as a doctor. And in fact, modern psychology will tell you this, but it's a gra in Mishlei, right? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. The Bashluk says in Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Yud Dalet, it says Ruach Ish Yechalkel Machaleu, but Ruach Necheya Mi Sena. So the gra explains that Ruach Ish, the Ruach refers here to Matzav Ruach, somebody who's happy, who's besimcha, he's feeling good about himself, then Yechalkil Machaleu, Machaleu is Lashon Machala. It'll cure his Machala. When a person is in good spirits, again, this modern psychology will tell you that if you have a patient who's in good spirits and he feels good and he's happy and he's confident, whatever, so that helps him get better. As the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ruach Ish Yechalkil Machaleu, it makes his Machala better. But the end of the pasuk, v'ruach necheya, somebody who has a broken spirit, who's depressed or whatever, mi sena, can he be cured? It's hard to cure a person who's depressed. Mimele, as we said, he doesn't deserve to be paid, this doctor, because he's not curing the person, he's doing the opposite. Okay, we move over to another different type of shaila. There was once a fellow, Yid, who was working for a boss, And he was a very good worker, conscientious worker, always came on time, and he left on time, and he worked hard and didn't take any, you know, breaks that he shouldn't, and a very, very, very conscientious worker. So he noticed that the boss was started to fire people left and right from the business. And what was he doing? He was firing all the Jews and hiring Goyim instead, because he can pay them less money. But he said, but for whatever reason, he assumed probably is because he was a good worker, the boss was keeping him on, which it was, you know, lucky for him, because he figured if he wouldn't have this job, he wouldn't, at his matzah, his age or whatever, he wouldn't be able to get another job so fast. So he was happy. Baruch Hashem, he had his job. However, sure enough, the day came when the boss called him in and said, listen, I'm firing you because I'm hiring an Arab. So he started begging the boss. He said, please, no, I don't fire me. I need this. I'm not going to. So he said, he agreed that the boss said, I'll tell you what, if you agree to take the wages that I pay the Arabs, then fine, I'll keep you. I might as well keep you. I'm just hiring him because he's cheaper. But if you want to get paid the same thing as the Arab, then fine, then you can keep your job. Let's pay you at the Arab rate. Okay, he had no choice because he saw if he's not going to accept it, he's not going to have a job. Better have a lesser paying job, no job. So he said, okay, fine. So then what? So then another day the Baal calls him is, you know what? I found an even cheaper worker, a Sudanese, and he's even going to take less money. So I said, listen, if you want the job, then you're going to have to take even less money. Anyway, from one thing to the next, the boss kept lowering his salary. I can hire this guy, I can hire that guy, whatever. And nonstop. And not only that, that would be bad enough, but the meager salary that he was paying him, I think he paid him on time. I think he gave him exactly what he was supposed to get. Also, here and there, took off here, took off that, paid him there, and then paid him on time, whatever. Anyways, but again, he was at least he had something. He's had a job. Now, what was the shaila here? The shaila was as follows: this yid, he was a Ben Torah, and he quoted the somewhat famous Gemara in Tainus, Daf Kaf Gimel, with Abba Chilkiah. It's a very long piece of Gemara. Just the one point that we need for here, that there was no rain, and the Rabbanan sent a couple of shlichim to Rabbi Chilkiah to daven for rain. He should daven for rain. So they went to, he wasn't at home, and his wife said he's working, so they went out and they saw him working out in some, working for somebody in some field. So they went up to him and they said, oh, Shalom Aleichem, whatever. And he didn't answer them. He didn't say Shalom. And then work continues. He did a whole bunch of other strange things along the way. And then after the end of the whole Maisa, the Rabbanim asked him about all the different things he did, why he did them. And this was one of them. They said, how come when we said Shalom to you, you didn't answer us? It's not polite. So he said, I'll tell you why. He says, because I was a hired worker, paid by the day, and therefore my time's not mine. And to lift up my head and say, oh, Shalom, and that's taking time off work. It's only a second or two, it's money, right? Every second I'm not working, it's like stealing from the balabais. So that's why I didn't lift my head to say Shalom to you. Fine. So this yid said, so what do we see from here? The person has to be very careful and not to cheat the balabais out from every second. So what I want to know is, he asked, does this apply to my balabais also? You know, the balabais, that he's treating me, you know, much worse than that. I mean, it's a second or two. He's kazmitzer. My salary is less than half of the going salary in the market right now. He's paying me because what are you doing? I'm going to hire this one. I hire that one. I'm getting paid half, less than half that I should be getting paid. And he's causing me, you know, to run around this and not pay me on time, whatever. So do I have to be so conscientious in my urge, or can I also be not so exact? I'm a little bit late, leave a little bit early, whatever. And after all, you know, he's not exactly treating me properly. So, you know, mita kenegan mita. Do I have to be so makbid in every second in the midst of such a situation? That was a shaila. Very interesting. So the answer is actually a Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Schirus, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Zayin, he says the following: Kederech Shemuzar Balabais Shelo Yigzol Schar Ani. Here the Balabais is the boss, the employer, and the Ani here in the Rambam's Lashon is the employee, the worker. So just like the boss is warned, he has to be careful not to steal money from his worker. In other words, to make sure he pays him properly, on time, lo yakvenu, you know, he shouldn't hold back his wages, etc. Kacha ani, so too, the worker, muzar shalo yigzol meleches balabais. He's be careful not to steal away from the boss. In other words, not to work properly. Be careful, he shouldn't not work properly. Vivatel me'at pekan, me'at pekan, by taking a little break here, a little break there. Ah, you know, a little coffee break, a cigarette break, here and there, a little bit here, a little bit there. Umotzi kol hayom b'mir, when he's like sly, in a sly way, you know, getting away from work. He's not allowed to do that. Elachayim ledaktek ala smo bizman. He has to be careful of his time, like we saw by Abi Chilker. Every second counts. Sharei hikpidu al bracha revi shel birkas hamazon shelo yeverechota. In fact, there's a tachana that if somebody is working and he takes his lunch break, he doesn't say the last bracha in birkas hamazon. Right, Hakel Avinu Malkeinu. He doesn't say the last bracha. Why? Because that's bracha is third bracha, fourth bracha is Midah Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan Mesaka, they said don't say it because you're taken away from the time of work. So how long does it take to say that bracha? 20 seconds, 30 seconds. How long does it take? Like 3 hours. It's a one little bracha. Yeah, the Chachamim said don't say that bracha because you're taking away time from your work. So you can see it's unbelievable how careful a person has to be with his time. The Chachamim said, we're vatal the last bracha birkas hamazon so as not to waste the time from the boss. Okay, lamaisa, halacha lamaisa, by that, we don't, we hold that if you're working and you are eating, you do have to say that bracha. That's only because we say that the people, balabatim, are not that makpi today. They're not going to be makpi to you saying that extra bracha. And therefore, when you get hired, it's under that it's going with the understanding that okay, you're going to bench and say four brachas, not three. But that's the reason why we can do it today. But that applies to you know benching, but it doesn't mean this break and that break and that the balabai with pasher. Yes, be makbi not. V'chein chayev says the Rambam la'avod bechol kocho. And also, you have to put in all your effort when you work. You can't work a little there. You have to put in all your effort. Sheharei Yaakov HaTzadik Amar, says the Rambam, Ki b'chol kochi avadati et avichem. Yaakov told his wives, Rachel and Leah, that I worked for your father, Lavan, with all my might. Lefikach natal schar zot af be'olam hazesh ne'mar v'yifrat seish me'od me'od. Now, who are we talking about here? Yaakov, working for Lavan. And he said, I work with all my might. And Lavan was a big cheat, ripping him off left and right. And yet, Yaakov worked with all his might. And they point out, the Radaik and Lashon of the Rambam, that he calls here, Hare Yaakov HaTzadik. Why is he calling him HaTzadik? It's not usually we don't call Yaakov at Tzadik. It's not his name normally. You know, we have Yosef at Tzadik. He usually is coined Yosef. But Yaakov at Tzadik. Tzadik, Rambam says elsewhere, and this is how is accepted idea, that a Tzadik is somebody who does exactly what he's supposed to do. Somebody who does more than he's supposed to do, Lifnimishur, that's a Chassid. So Yaakov. He says, calls the Rambam, Rambam calls Yaakov over here a Yaakov at Tzadik. Meaning he wasn't doing extra. He was doing what he's supposed to do. Meaning, you know, okay, Yaakov, you know, he didn't have to work so hard, but he did anyway, because he was a chassid. No, he was a tzaddik, says the rabbi. I mean, this is what you got to do. So it comes out that in our case over here, even though the balabais is treating you bad, he's not paying you enough, whatever it might be, that doesn't put you from putting in a hard day's work and not leaving early, not taking breaks. You have to work properly. But he's cheating you, 100%. You will take him to Din Torah. You can take, you know, proper strides and to try to you get your money back. He shouldn't be cheating you. And again, take him to a Din Torah, take him to a Rava, 100%. You have every right to and you should. But not to work, that's not a pitaron. That's not a solution. The work, you got to work, and that's two different things. Working is the working, and what he's doing bad to you, fine, you can have to deal with that separately. Very good. This is an interesting side point here that one might ask. There's a famous saying from a Gemara in Baba Kama, right? That avidinish dinin l'nafshe, that a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands if he's being cheated. So one might say, okay, so why can't he take the law into his hands and not work so hard and this and that, whatever. So the Mefarshim explained that that rule of avidin shein only applies to getting a specific article back that is yours that was taken away. Somebody steals your bike, and then you see it. Hey, there's my bike in the guy's garage, whatever. You're allowed to break in and take your bike. Why? Because you're taking back that object that is yours. So if you see your thing by somebody else, it's not supposed to be there. He took it, and clearly, unright, not that it's a shiloh, maybe he bought it or not. It's clear that he took it. So then you're allowed to, you don't have to go to Beis Din. You yourself can go and take it away. Take what's coming to what's yours without having to go to Beis Din. That's avidin shtein lenafshe. However, here, you're not taking back a certain article that is, he's this one, so look, he's cheating me here, so I'll cheat him there. And so that, again, you're not allowed to do. That's, you have to act properly. Okay, this is the end with the few riddles that we have here. Riddle number one. Eze mitzvah yachol adam lekayem rak kashum b'matzav shel yeshiva. What mitzvah can a person only do when he's sitting? Give up. The answer is, mipnei seva takum v'adarta mipnei zaken. So you have to stand up for an old person or for a talmid chacham. You can only do that if you're sitting. Next question. Eze mitzvah adif yoter lekayem al yedei shaliach meshe lekayem be'atzmo. Even though we have a rule, mitzvah b'shlucho yoter mitzvah bo yoter mishlucho, it's better to do a mitzvah yourself than to send a shaliach. But where do we find that mitzvah b'shlucho yoter mibo? Where is a mitzvah better to? This mitzvah is better to do with a shaliach and not yourself. The answer is, of course, shlach manos. Mishloach manot. There's a shita that says, better, since it's called Mishloach Manot, to send Manot, you're supposed to dafka send your Mishloach Manot with a Shliach. There are those that say it's still here, better to do it yourself. There's a Shita like that, but there's a Shita that says you should send. Maya mitzvah sheba'ofin misuyam adam yachol otzi acheri midei chovata, achu ba'atzmo eini yachol otzeit ba'idei chova. Very strange. A person can be doing a mitzvah, and he could, in this matzav, be motzi others in the mitzvah, do it for them, they should be Yotzi, but he himself is not Yotzi. It's very unusual, because normally, how can you be mostly somebody else? You yourself can't be. That, no, he's doing this, even though he needs to do the mitzvah now, he can't be Yotzi this mitzvah, but he is being mostly others. So the answer is, with Tkiya Shofar. Right, a person blows the shofar, and he blows, the end of the shofar is in a bore, in a pit, and inside the pit, there's people listening to the shofar. But he is outside the pit. So the halacha is that when the shofar blown inside a pit, if you are in the pit, you can be Yosi because you're hearing the shofar. But if you're outside the pit, so then you are not hearing the shofar, you're hearing the echo of the shofar, the reverberation that comes out from outside of the pit. So here he bent down, put the end of the shofar in the pit. There's people in the pit. So he's motzi them, they're yotzi the mitzvah shofar. But since he is outside the pit, so he's only hearing the reverberation, the echo, and therefore he is not yotzi. That even though that normally somebody, we say that he cannot be yotzi, so he can't be motzi others, but here he is still, he's considered a mechuya badavar, he's still somebody mechuya, he's still somebody chayv in mitzvah shofar, but he's not hearing it properly. So he's not yotzi, and the people in the pit are yotzi. Hatkan for tonight, shalom b'zoicha, to hear many more interesting shilas and their solutions, and be zoiche to follow the correct way and ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and see the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu.